What is up, Rotor Ballers? It's the Fantasy Bomb back at you again with another ADP showdown slash throwdown. And this time we're going with receivers, and we're going to talk about a pair of receivers that you might want to target early on. That would be Amari Cooper and T.Y. Hilton. If you've ever followed the show, you'll know that we've talked about one of these players quite a bit. Chris, you have had, I should say, I'm sorry, because you don't do Dynasty anymore, had your share of Amari Cooper early on. Which side of the fence are you on now, though? Here's the thing. Are you all for or against Cooper? You're going to let the people know ahead of time?
No, they're going to have to watch and find out.
To watch. You're going to have to wait in suspense.
Yes.
Cooper's an interesting name, but man, I don't know. In Dallas, he looked like a different receiver. He looked like a different player altogether. So, I don't know. It reminds me of a young Devontae Parker. Wait, kidding.
Is Devontae Parker old now?
He looks like it. See, I'm trying to fool you, make you think I'm on the other side of the bait. All right, let's find out what's going on here. Let's get to it.
It's the Fantasy Bomb.
God forbid anyone should ever have that comp. All right, welcome back. It's the Fantasy Bomb. Chris Mangato, and I'm Pierre Camus. Let's get to it. We're going to throw down ADP style because these are two players that are going right around the same neighborhood. In this case, early third, about right, early third, maybe middle third, depending on your format and all that. But talk about typical 12-team league, full PPR, of course, because is there any other way to play?
No.
All right. So, let's have it, Chris. Amari Cooper, T.Y. Hilton, you have that choice, let's just say, let me ask you this. You're a zero RB guy, right? So, are you taking either of these guys as your first receiver because you're going running back heavy? Or are you waiting for these as a second receiver, maybe as a third receiver? I mean, how do you view these? If you're going zero RB, I don't know. Well, are you going zero RB this year? Let me ask you that first.
Well, I would be going with my standard, get one of the top four running backs if I'm drafting up there. Otherwise, I'm going zero RB. So, no, neither of these guys. If one of these guys are my wide receiver one, either my league is ridiculous and I was able to go like get Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley or Zeke Elliott in the second round because my league mates are clueless, or my draft is not very good. I'm not having a good draft. So no, neither one would be my wide receiver one. Now, they could be my wide receiver two if I did start with one of those top running backs. But I think you still get a guy like, you know, Mike Evans. Who else is going kind of late there? What we got? Mike Evans.
Maybe is there Antonio a scenario? Brown. I mean, like if you're going zero RB, let's say you're drafting late, right? You're like, you know, pick 9, 10, 11, something like that. Like you go like a guy like, you know, Julio or Michael Thomas, and then the second round you get a guy like, you know, Thielen, and then would you take one of these guys as your third receiver to use that like a automatic win for a start?
If it was the right one of these guys.
Oh, good answer. Good answer. Okay. So who is the right one? Let's talk about that. Okay, so Amari Cooper, let's get some numbers out here first because we need to get the facts straight. So Amari Cooper, of course, we know a couple years in Oakland, didn't go so well last year, was traded, and then in Dallas was like a totally different guy because he was a huge, humongous bust first half of the season. And then all of a sudden he won some people, I wouldn't say your league, but a couple of weeks for sure with those monster performances. So first six games, 22 catches for 280 yards, one touchdown. That's not too
good. Wow.
Bad. It's even worse than I remember. 46 yards a game. And then 9 games with the Cowboys, 53 catches, 725 yards, and 6 touchdowns, an average of 80 yards per game. So not quite double, but that's pretty solid, right? Pretty solid numbers. All right, by contrast, T.Y. Hilton did miss 2 games, but in 14 contests, 76 catches, 1,270. Pretty good yardage for him. And only 6 touchdowns, though. That's kind of a disappointing thing. With it, as much as the Colts scored, he only reached the end zone 6 times, but an average of 90 yards per game, one of the top yardage getters. So that's better than Cooper's 80. But again, Cooper midseason, right before he even figured out who Dak Prescott was and got acclimated to the offense. So who are you taking on this side? Or who would you rather have as your wide receiver 3, Mr. Zero RB?
T.Y. Hilton, easily for me. T.Y. Hilton, easily.
Easily, because you were a easily. Cooper guy, right? You owned Cooper in Dynasty at one point. We all remember this. Longtime viewers of the show, at least. So why Hilton?
We saw him last year with a finally healthy Andrew Luck. We hadn't seen him with a healthy Andrew Luck in, what, like 2 years. And we saw what he did. And again, in 1,300 yards in 14 games. He caught 5 or more passes in every game but 5 I'm looking at here. And he had 5 games over 100 yards. He even had like basically a 200-yard game. The touchdowns aren't necessarily there. But I'm not super worried about that. I mean, touchdowns, we've talked about it. Touchdowns come and go. He's Luck's top target. Luck trusts him. He's going to get the looks. He's tied to a great quarterback, a pass-heavy offense. He's my guy. I feel like where T.Y. Hilton is being drafted is still too low. Still too low for what he gives you.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton, you know, you argue is one of the higher end wide receiver 2s for fantasy. Let me try to poke a couple holes in your love for Hilton here. Now, I like him. I'm not going to say I'm avoiding him or anything like that. And I think he's at a fair price right now. But here's the thing. Never scored more than 7 touchdowns, right? Last year it was 6. And the thing is, he had his career best as far as yards per game last year. He had more yards in 2016. But yards per game was at a high last year. He would have broken his career high had he stayed healthy for 16 games. But last year they had Jack Doyle missing for a lot of the season. And so that's another receiver that's coming back at the tight end position. Also, they got Devin Funchess, who we know is going to be a red zone target, but at least gives them some more viability. Last year, they were trotting out Chester Rogers, Zach Pascal. You know, they brought in, Dontrell Inman, like off the street at some point. I mean, they were throwing to whoever was a warm body at some point. And this year they got a little bit more formidable, let's just say, receiving core. And then Deion Kane coming back, a guy that I'm big on, if you remember from Dynasty. So he might have a few more mouths to contend with as far as targets getting fed to him. Does that worry you at all? I mean, it's like a little bit.
I mean, not really, because if you look at the first 3 games last year when Jack Doyle was healthy, now granted they didn't have Funchess, I'm not super worried about Funchess. I like Funchess as a red zone threat. I like him as a late round pick because he's got that red zone threat upside. I'm not really drafting T.Y. Hilton to score me 10 touchdowns anyways, but in those first 3 games, he had 11, 11, and 10 targets. So it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron were siphoning targets from T.Y. Hilton. So I still think you're looking at a guy who's going to be 8 to 10 targets almost every single week. And again, those are 8 to 10 targets from Andrew Luck, who last time I checked is pretty damn good.
He is pretty damn good.
And healthy. And healthy.
So that's the only thing. All right. So if there's a concern, I mean, Hilton's injuries weren't major. He only missed 2 games. That's not a thing. But his quarterback, so far, so good. But I mean, you never know, right? His shoulder's a tricky thing. It could crop up again. That's just something. But okay, I'm not going to hate on Hilton, right? I like him. So let's talk about Cooper, though. Why do I like him a little bit better? Okay, we know that this guy has been immensely talented. Hilton's kind of an undersized guy, right? He wasn't really expected to do a lot coming into NFL, coming out of FIU. Cooper, we already know, right? Huge recruit in Miami, Alabama. Monster as a rookie, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons coming into the pros, and then things kind of fell apart because he was on the Raiders. But he showed what he's capable of. It to me, I hate to say like we're having the same argument we did like with the Cook and Bell, but it's similar to me. Is I mean the ceiling for Amari Cooper? He's just such a physical talent at receiver, and he's on a team that we know also has a solid offense. Not Dak Prescott's not Andrew Luck, right? He's not that kind of a thrower. But to me, he's going to get more touchdowns for sure, and he could match him in yardage at least pretty damn close, don't you think?
I don't, actually. Okay, let's look at Cooper on Dallas, just on Dallas last year. He had games of 58, 75, 36, 76, 32, 20, and 31. None of those games are incredible games. Then and during those games, he had one total touchdown during all those games. Then he had two other games, 180 yards, two touchdowns, 217 yards, and three touchdowns.
I knew you were going to use this argument. I knew you were going to do that. Take out the big games.
You can't take those games away. Like, look, during those 2 weeks, he won you your week. But during the other weeks, he was just an okay PPR wide receiver. He was probably in like that low two, high three range. I'd have to look at the numbers, but I'm guessing that's probably where he finished those weeks. Because those are not big weeks. I mean, 76 yards and no touchdowns, you're only talking about like a 12 to 15 point week, which is fine. It's solid. It's better than the 6 points he was giving me when I had him early in the season when he was on Oakland. But he's certainly not winning you your week those weeks. And he only had one touchdown outside of those two games. So it's not like he was lighting it up in the touchdown category. Now he did those two games when he did those two monster games. And do you remember a guy? I think you remember him. I think you're going to remember this guy. Jay Ajayi. Do you remember? Does that name ring a bell at all? Jay Ajayi?
I have no idea who you're talking about. I have no recollection. Nope.
Well,
doesn't ring a bell.
He used to actually be a running back for the Miami Dolphins. I know this is before your time. This is before your time. And he had this monster year that was buoyed by like three 200-yard games. He had like 13 average to good games. And then he had like these three 200-yard games, right? Like three 200-yard games. So yep. What happened the next year? Everybody's like, oh, second-round running back. Come on. Did you see what he did last year? Well, guess what? It's the NFL. You don't run for 200 yards three times a year every single year. In fact, you don't even do that once a year. Most years, right? You don't even do that once. How many guys run for 200 yards in a season? Or how many guys catch for 200 yards even in a season? Unless you're Julio Jones, then you do it every year. But outside of that, they don't. So if he comes back down to earth, even if those are 100-yard games, which are still very good, 100-yard game at the NFL level is very good. The other games just leave me, I mean, 20 yards, 30 yards, 30 yards. I mean, that's just not going to do it. Those are Oakland-type numbers right there. So I think people are a little too high on Amari Cooper because of what he did in those two huge games, and they think, oh, just being on Dallas, he's going to do that every week.
Well, okay, so here's one thing, because I knew you were going to bring that argument up. T.Y. Hilton did have a 199-yard game last year, so damn near 200. True. All right, so you take that one monster game out. He had nine catches there. He also had a game with nine catches, 155 yards, and two touchdowns. So those two games is a huge chunk right there. See, Tank's fired up. That's right.
Hey, I don't think that's the 199-yard game, you're right. But the 155-yard game, that's not to me not anything like crazy.
That's pretty big. That's not too far off 180.
He had five games over 100 yards, and I'll tell you this. He had two games under 46, 46, he had 25, 34, and 46 were his worst games last year, where Cooper had, again, 36, 32, 20, and 31. And that 31-yard game, he got 11 targets. Like, what was going on that game?
Well, okay, well, to me, that's a good thing because he's getting the targets. And the thing is, you know that they didn't really have a lot of options, right? The second-best receiver was Michael Gallup, right? A rookie who's still learning. Who else? They have Cole Beasley. I mean, that there wasn't a lot of options. And this year, you know, Gallup's a talented guy. He's going to be experienced. You know, he's going to be more of a threat. They have Randall Cobb, legitimate receiver there in the slot. They still have Allen Hurns. I mean, it's a better group overall. And of course, Jason Witten, he's going to distract the defense left and right, you know, so that's going to open things wide open for Amari Cooper.
Couldn't that also be a negative for Amari Cooper? Because last year he was the only guy. kind of like what you're saying with T.Y. Hilton. Now Dak Prescott's going to have more options, so he might not get those 11, 10 target games.
Are you trying to use my own logic against me? Working. Anyways, so no. I don't know. To me, I know what you're saying. The big games, yes, they kind of buoyed his value last year, and you can't just ignore that. But I think it's pretty remarkable the fact that he had so much success and the fact that he just jumped in midseason, right? And, you know, didn't get time to have that chemistry with Dak, but it happened pretty quickly. I think the most impressive thing is the fact that he had these 200-yard games when he was with Oakland. The fact that how bad that team was, he actually was successful despite that. So, anyways,
yeah,
a guy. The sky's the limit for him. I think now he's in a good situation. And I know the touchdowns. We already know the touchdowns are going to be more for Cooper than Hilton. And so if the yardage is close enough, which I think it could be, I give Cooper the slight edge.
I don't know if I agree with you that the touchdowns are for sure going to be more. Because, again, 5 of his 6 touchdowns with the Cowboys came in 2 games. He only had 1 touchdown outside of that. So that means he had, what, over 7 games, he only had 1 touchdown. So there, I don't think it's necessarily a guarantee that he's going to have more touchdowns. I think it could be close. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be close to the touchdown departments. I don't expect either guy to have a ton of touchdowns. Again, the Cowboys, they get close to the red zone. Witten is going to hurt that because he's probably going to be, at minimum, he's going to be that red zone guy for Dak Prescott. And they got this guy named Zeke Elliott who can just pound, they just give it to you 4 times in a row inside the 5 until he gets into the end zone, right? So that hurts him. So I don't think either of these guys are going to get a ton of touchdowns. Just give me the guy who we saw do it over an entire season with Andrew Luck more consistently week in and week out than we saw Amari Cooper do with Dallas. I mean, Amari Cooper had some, even with people seem to forget, but down the stretch, Amari Cooper was really bad. Like if you had Amari Cooper all year, you were like really mad because he wasn't doing anything for you. Then he got traded to Dallas, but you're too scared to play him because you're like, I got to see him do it. And he did okay. And then you probably played him and you probably like crushed your opponents 2 out of 3 weeks, or you definitely crushed your opponents and you're all excited. And then when you got to the playoffs, he crapped the bed again. So I don't know. I'm just not willing to stake my fantasy season on a 3rd round of Amari Cooper.
He did crap the bed, that's for sure. Weeks, 14, 15, 16, it was bad. I mean, that was probably the wrong time.
Fantasy playoff.
Probably the wrong time to have a rough stretch. But before that, he was really good. And after that, actually, so any hope, how about this? Let's end on a positive. The fact that in the playoffs, even though it didn't help fantasy owners, but the fact that in his toughest matchups, right, against Seattle and the Rams, in the playoffs, he was pretty damn good. He got 7 catches, 106 yards, 6 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown. Even though, you know, those are games that were tooth and nail against tough opponents, and again, knowing they were going to target him a ton, the fact that he performed well in the playoffs, does that show you that he kind of was still growing with the offense and all that?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, it doesn't hurt his case. It definitely doesn't hurt his case, but I still just think you're going to have too many games. I think he's going to give you too many duds, too many stinkers next year and you're not going to be able to bench him, right? You're not going to be able to sit him on the bench. You're going to have him in your lineup because the upside is too high, but he's going to give you those games where he gets like 3 catches for 25 yards and no touchdowns, and you're like, well, I lost that week, right? I think you're going to get too many of those games for my liking. For a 3rd round pick, that's too many of those games for my liking.
Too much risk. Yeah, I can see that. But, you know, I'm a sucker for the physical talent. That's just where I go.
He's definitely talented. I'm not knocking his talent at all. You know, I like his talent.
Yeah, good player. Both good players, both good situations. I'd say both pretty much fair as far as the ADP range are going. It's almost splitting hairs there, but... Yeah, I personally, I know, given the chance, I'd probably take Cooper. You're a Hilton guy, though. So,
yes.
That's just because your affinity for Paris Hilton, right? You just want the association.
That's right. Anything Hilton, I'm all about it.
All in. That's what it is.
All in on the Hilton. Just admit.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching the show.
No one listening to the show has any idea who that is, by the way.
No? Is that an old reference?
That's pretty old, yeah.
Oh, well, I tried.
Who knows? Maybe we have an old audience. Maybe they do know who it is. Comment below if you know who Paris Hilton is, and without everybody. Googling.
Really? Is it that old? How long has it been? 5 years? 6 years?
Oh, man. That had to be like, in my early 20s, right?
Oh, it can't 20 be
years ago,
though.
Probably. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, now I'm going to have to Google it. All right, if you know who we're talking about, don't make us feel old. Just tell us. Comment below, and we'll get the scoop. Or take a guess. What year did that the scandal come out when everybody figured out who Paris Hilton was, if you know what I mean? All right.
Yes, of course. Yeah, there you go.
All right, and of course, before you do that, like, subscribe, follow us, Rotoballer on Twitter. Follow us, our personal Twitter right there below, and check back each week because, guys, we're here for you all season long. All right, thanks for watching.